Okay, the first week of the NFL season is in the books. Now, how did your fantasy football team do? Did you win cash? No? Don't make that mistake again. Sign up for FanDuel and win cash this weekend. Joe Watson from New York turned a $50 deposit into over $30,000 in 2 weeks playing fantasy football on FanDuel last season. Now you join him and hundreds of thousands of other users who have already won money. FanDuel.com. Let's face it, it's the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. Who can't use that? The money is real. Entry fees start at just $1. No season-long commitment, no upfront fees. You play each week whenever you want to. It's all up to you. Set a new lineup each week and win every week if you're good enough. FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million every single week this NFL season. That's right, they're paying out $10 million every single week. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. You go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code name, Bowden, and sign up now. And there's a new user special. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. Come on, man, it's up to $200 free. Now, the offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code name, Bowden, so don't forget to use it. My code name, it's Bowden. It's not exactly a secret code, it's my name. Use it. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Every week, it's a new season. Sign up today. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden with another episode of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? We are up to episode 85. Now, some of you may say, wow, Alonzo, you're doing a podcast every week? Well, I guess I am. It's part of the deal with FanDuel. It's a fantasy football league. The network has ads with them. I have ads with them. So they asked me to do my podcast on a regular basis, and I'm trying to hang out with that. Now, speaking of fantasy football, let's hope you didn't draft Ray Rice this season. Too soon? Too soon? No, it's not too soon. Listen, this Ray Rice, I'm going to use the word scandal, and I'm waiting for somebody to call it Ray Rice Gate, because they love throwing gate on the end of things. It has grown into a ridiculous situation, from a bad situation to a ridiculous situation. Now, in the event you've been under a rock for the past week, you may not know. Yeah, you know. You may have seen. You may not have seen. TMZ released a video of what happened in the elevator. So here's the quick update. We all saw earlier this summer when Ray Rice was dragging his unconscious then fiance, now wife, out of an elevator. Okay, basically dragging her caveman style, and his punishment. I think the police, the law, punishment was some kind of, you know, training, like you had to be taught not to beat women, and the NFL suspended him for 2 games. And this past week, TMZ released a video of what happened in the elevator, and he basically gave her a punch in the face. He gave her a solid left to the head, and it knocked her out cold. And as a result of that, he's been kicked off of the Ravens. He's lost his contract because that's not guaranteed money. And the NFL has suspended him indefinitely. In the event any other team wants to even talk to him, they have to get clearance from the NFL. And basically, we can be pretty sure his football career is over. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, came out with these new rules that if you're involved in domestic violence, it's going to be a 6-game suspension minimum, basically saying, hey, we just found out you're not supposed to hit women, and we're going to do something about it. And, you know, people are all over the place on this, and I'm not even going to get into an opinion, because I don't know if I have a formed opinion. I mean, obviously, knocking out a woman is wrong. That's my opinion. There's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. Some are saying, well, you know, if she attacks you, or there's no excuse for punching a woman in the face. I'm sorry. That's where I stand on it. Now, Ray Rice's wife, Janae, is defending him. And she's basically saying he's a good man. He lost his temper. People are taking it out of context. It's not your business. On and on and on. And she's been attacked for defending him. I've read some things where some women are saying, well, you're a gold digger and now you lost the gold because he lost his contract. And listen, I don't know. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm going to tell you the group I have a problem with. ESPN and all the other hypocritical sports writers and sports reporters who are jumping on Roger Goodell and jumping on the Ravens for not finding this video of what happened in the elevator, okay? And the police are like, we didn't have the video. The casino had the video. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, this is how it works. First of all, you, me, and anyone else who's ever been to a casino knows that everything that happens in a casino is on tape, all right? There's always that eye in the sky. I don't care where you are, they are watching you. It's a casino. That's their business. Now, did the Ravens check with the casino to get a copy of the tape? No, they didn't. And why would they? It was in their best interest to pretend to be ignorant, because they wanted their starting running back. So I can't blame the Ravens. Was it wrong? Yeah, morally, but that's what they would do. Same thing with the NFL. Why would they look for a black mark against them? No, you know who should have looked for that? Sports reporters, ESPN. ESPN was scooped by TMZ on a story of a starting running back. Why? Because once again, ESPN and all the other sports writers and sports reporters or whatever, this is their bread and butter. It's in their interest to not lose a Ray Rice. They could have found that video. How did TMZ find it and they didn't? And your reporters, and now you're going to pretend you're asking hard-hitting questions of the NFL and the commissioner of the NFL and the Ravens? No. No, it's bullshit. And Keith Olbermann, who I love. I love Keith Olbermann. He's opinionated. He's smart. He's got a lot to say, and I generally agree with him. I don't agree with him that Roger Goodell gets fired over this. Why? Why would Roger Goodell get fired? Roger Goodell's interest is with the owners. Roger Goodell's interest is in protecting the product of pro football. It did not protect the product of pro football to release a video of one of their players punching a woman in the face. Some say, and it's true, we all know he knocked her out in the elevator because he dragged her out of the elevator unconscious. But it's a bigger impact when you see it. And it was a horrible thing. And I'm not defending Ray or any. I just, you know, these reporters with their fake interests, with their acting like they care, their hypocrisy is really annoying. This goes all the way back to the steroid scandal when, oh my gosh, these baseball players should never get in the Hall of Fame. Really? Go back and look at ESPN during the steroid era and their animated, supersized baseball players. Every promotion in baseball back then looked like a Marvel comic book. Superman, giant muscles, okay? They always do this. They don't investigate. They don't report. They don't find anything negative, and then they act outraged. So I'd say ESPN, you're full of shit. I love SportsCenter. You're full of shit, and I'm not going to get involved in what's right or wrong between Ray and his wife. It's obviously wrong to beat a woman. I have no idea what their relationship is, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, we're going to keep in the sports vein. The Atlanta Hawks owner, and I think this is a new, is this perhaps a new trend? A little NBA racism amongst the owners? Are the owners? what if every NBA owner has some kind of weird racist thing in his, you know, in his background, whether it be email or verbal or whatever. Bruce Levinson, owner of the Atlanta Hawks, wrote an email back in 2012, and something struck him to release this email publicly. And basically, what he said was, the reason the Atlanta Hawks are doing bad business, the reason the Atlanta Hawks don't have the big money fan base, the reason they don't have the cheering and so on, is because they have too many black fans. He said they have too many black fans coming to the games, and these black fans scare away the white fans. He also said the reason that, you know, basically the reason the arena's not full at the start of the games, you know, black folks be showing up late. And a bunch of other things, and, you know, that the business base isn't there, and Now, he doesn't talk much about how much the Atlanta Hawks sucked for a few years, and maybe that's why they had no fan base. No mention of that. Just too many black fans. And you know, he said it started from when they couldn't get any fans, so they had to give away tickets to fill the stands for games that were on TV, and they gave away the tickets in the neighborhood, and that the neighborhood is too black, and on and on and on. Now, suddenly, I guess he's overcome with remorse or something. I don't know. So he releases this email, and he's going to sell the team. Some say it's just a way out. He just wanted to dump the team, and I don't even know. This type of racism, this type of racial stereotypes, this type of profiling or whatever you want to call it, it's institutional. It's ingrained. You know, these are black stereotypes that they're always going to use. What really doesn't make sense to me about this one is you're in Atlanta. You can't find, like, say you couldn't find the white fan base. You can't find rich black people in Atlanta. In Atlanta, in Chocolate City, in the home of Tyler Perry? And I mean, are you kidding? If there's any place, if there's any city in the United States you're going to find rich black people, it is going to be Atlanta. Atlanta's a black city. Atlanta is like the showcase city of Georgia and of the Southeast for black people. I mean, what is there between Washington, D.C. and Miami that you've heard of? It's Atlanta. They draw on that whole area. So I don't know what his deal is, but you know something? Screw him. Sell a team. Get out. If you don't want to do business with black people, then you do not belong doing business in the NBA. So if you have a problem with it on whatever level, then get out. Okay? Good riddance. So long. See you later. Unfortunately, once again, just like in the Donald Sterling case, racism will prove to be profitable because any sports franchise is worth a ton of money and it will sell for a lot more than he paid for it. Now, on a side note down in Atlanta, we've got general manager Danny Ferry talking about Luol Deng, saying Luol Deng is too African and that you think you're getting one thing, but you're really getting another, sort of making a reference to the old Nigerian scam of, you know, Would you know the Nigerian scam? I hope you know it by now, where I have $80,000 in the bank, but I can't get to it. But if you give me, I'll give you a check, and then you give me $10,000 real cash and blah, blah, blah. But basically, Danny Ferry was making reference to this regarding Luol Deng. Now, listen, Danny Ferry proved himself an asshole a long time ago when he was first drafted into the NBA, and he said he'd refuse to play for the Clippers. He'd rather retire, blah, blah, blah. This is a case, I don't see this as a big racist. This is just a case of an asshole needs to get punched in the mouth. That's all. Danny Ferry, you know, I have a friend, and we were having this debate one time about Anthony from Opie and Anthony and his whole thing, and my man said, listen, this is a guy who was never punched in the mouth as a kid. Danny Ferry has never been punched in the mouth. That's how this should be handled. This is schoolyard stuff. You got a problem with Luol Deng? You call Luol Deng too African? Luol Deng should just smack the shit out of you and we move on. I don't think this is a big social issue. I don't think I need to be involved. If I'm the judge on this one, my ruling, Your Honor says, punch in the mouth for Danny Ferry. Let's move on. Now, that's it for sports this week. And I have to move on to another story that is both horrible. It is horrible. It's not both. It's a horrible story. It's another one of these stories. And you've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. We have no bottom. There are things that we do in our society that one human does to another that you just have to wonder, like, how is that even possible? Who is this horrible? You may or may not have heard about this. We're all familiar with the ice bucket challenge. Well, in Bay Village, Ohio, there was an autistic teenager, and a group of teenagers thought it would be funny to do the ice bucket challenge, but instead of water, they used urine and feces and cigarette butts and a bunch of other disgusting things and had this poor kid dump it on his own head, and they thought it'd be funny to film it with the cell phone and put it on Instagram and blah, 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 blah. How do you do that? Human. As a human, how do you do that? I don't know. But But anyway, this is where it backfired, and this is where social media started out as a terrible thing and turned into a valuable tool. The bullies were caught, and the bullies, they used the kid's own cell phone, but they don't realize that through technology, I'm not even sure how they do it, but the police found him. But more importantly, people rallied around that kid. The community raised money to spend on autism awareness. The community was outraged and absolutely said they were going to find these bullies. Stars stepped in. Drew Carey, who's an Ohio guy who knows this community, said that if there was a reward needed, he'd put up $10,000. Jenny McCarthy, who's also dealt with autistic children, has just instantly said she would match the reward that Drew Carey would put up for another $10,000. It was social media that found these bullies. Now, they're all underage. They're all under 18, so they're not releasing any names, and they're not saying what the penalty is. But thank God they've come to the aid of this kid with love and support. And I'm sure as damaged as he is and as much as this must hurt, and as he was too embarrassed to tell his mother what happened. That's how bad it was. But when she found out and this all came out, they found him. You know, this is like the case of the five-year-old who was beaten up in Mississippi, except that they didn't find any perpetrators on that. But it's just one of those things. Who are we? Who are we as people that these things happen? And I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to be a comedian. Everyone talks about you're a comedian. Your podcast isn't funny. It really isn't. I don't know why. I'm sorry about that. I throw in a joke now and then. Maybe I need to lighten it up. I don't know. But this is the kind of stuff that doesn't work into my act, but fascinates me, and sometimes in a negative way. Who are we as people that this happens? How do we get to the point where this sort of thing is okay? Where they even, who even thinks of doing that? You know, and I'm not sitting up here going to blame movies or blame video games or any of that nonsense. No, this is people. I don't know how you get to that point that you think it's funny to have an autistic or in any way handicapped child, weak person, the bullying to that level, to have somebody dump urine and feces on their own head and you think it's funny to post a video is absolutely horrible as people. But at the same time, social media and the community came together and found these guys. So I don't know, people. I'm just putting it out there. Sorry if these stories bother you or offend you, but whenever I see them, I'm probably going to talk about them because they touch me. They affect me, and that's what this podcast is about. No, I'm sorry for getting that heavy. We're going to lighten up. I should be lighter. I'm actually recording this in Las Vegas. I'm at Mandalay Bay right now, and I did a show tonight, an award show for something called Interbike, which is a big bicycle trade show. I don't know how I get into these gigs, but anyway, it was super fun. I learned a lot about bicycles, and I'm telling you what's coming, fat tires. All right, just say, when you see the fat tire bike, what the hell is that? You say, man, I heard about that. Alonzo talked about it on his podcast, because man, these fat tire bikes, they're cool. They're mountain bikes with tires that are like 4 inches wide. I don't even ride bicycles, and I want one. So that's where I am tonight. That's where I'm recording from. This is what I do on a wild night in Vegas. Hookers and beer? No thanks. Podcasts and you? I'm here. My last story, and again, you'd have to be hiding under a rock to not heard this. Apple has released iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. What do we know about it? Well, it's going to be bigger. The iPhone 6 is bigger than the iPhone 5, and the iPhone 6 Plus is bigger than an iPhone, smaller than an iPad, but I think you're going to have some big-ass pockets to carry that phone around. Not sure about that. It's going to have a better camera. It has a better display. It has a Retina display. It's a little thinner, probably be better battery life, but let's face it. We want to know, how is Siri going to do it, Cortana, whatever her name is, the chick inside the Samsung phone, according to the commercials, is kind of smacking Siri down. This is kind of an ass-whipping Siri. When you sit up there and tell another phone she's smarter than you. Although being smarter than Siri ain't that tough. I don't know about you. I've had my share of Siri problems. I keep Siri turned off. Just me. Me and Siri have never got along. But that doesn't mean you and Siri don't get along. I think she's a different woman with different people. Siri's got issues. Maybe an iPhone 6. Siri's a little bigger, has room to stretch out. Maybe it should do a better job. We'll see. Don't know if I'll buy the 6. I got the 5S. I'm one of those every other iPhone guys, so I might end up with the 7. We'll see. But right now, I've been recording this podcast on my iPhone 5, and it seems to work pretty good. I know the microphone works well because people tend to send me emails like, what were you eating while you were podcasting? What were you drinking? People can actually hear me breathe, so that microphone's pretty good. Siri may not talk well, but she damn sure can listen. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. This is Alonzo Bowden, Who's Paying Attention, episode 85. Next weekend, September 18th through 20th, I will be in Vancouver at Yuck Yucks. September 22nd through 29th, I'm right back here in Las Vegas at the Tropicana doing the Laugh Factory. It's my first time doing the Las Vegas Laugh Factory. You know I love the Hollywood Laugh Factory. That's my home club. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Talk to you next week. Listen to me next week. It's Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention and answering you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger. Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.